Friends, you are listening to the Flannelly Show live from New York. And I want to welcome Sean O'Dowd, a first-generation Irish-Canadian, and the place to start might be, friends, to welcome the son of this fellow from Kilglass in County Sligo. And Sean, you're very welcome.
Oh, hi, Adrian. How are you?
Good, good. So far, so good. Anyway, listen, we were of the opinion, and particularly those of us who left Ireland and came to New York, that, you know, anyone worth his salt would only come to New York and wouldn't check out other places, totally ignoring the fact that, obviously, fleeing from the famine, send people, you know, to all parts of the world. But again, we're very familiar with County Sligo, obviously, neighboring county there. And actually, a great number of people in the west of Ireland did head for Canada. In your father's case, was there ever a did he ever say why Canada and not Australia, New Zealand, Ireland? From Ireland. What was in your own home?
Sure.
What was the what was the conversation? I say to us, I'm not looking for an excuse as to why you would go to Canada, but what was the draw?
So what's interesting is my dad actually spent his career on the ships, like the Queen Mary and so forth, and had traveled around the entire world. He had been to Australia, South Africa, you know, throughout Europe and so forth. And literally, when he came to Vancouver, and for anyone who's actually been there, obviously I had the benefit of growing up there, it's a remarkably beautiful city. Mm-hmm. And so he decided to sort of say, you know, in the 60s, you know, this is where I'm gonna plant myself, and that's kind of where he went, and that's where I'm from. So yeah.
Now, you did though. How did you decide with your education? How did you wind up in New York?
Yeah, you know, I did my undergrads. I'm a product of the Irish Christian Brothers education system, and you know that prompted me to go to undergrad at UBC, did finance, was in finance in Vancouver, and decided, you know, why don't I try out Wall Street? So, you know, I decided, you know, let's also, you know, kind of couple that with an education, and I was accepted and came down here to Yale up in New Haven, where I met my wife Kristen, who was there as well with me, and that's kind of how I stuck around for the last 20 years or 21 years actually.
And then let's just talk for a minute about, you know, the Irish Christian Brothers, and in fact, much maligned by a great or a number of people, you know, mostly people who, students who went through to the Christian Brothers Center, their school system, because of their approach to education. By the same token, there are very few people who, you know, who went through and educated by the Irish Christian Brothers, who didn't come out in the end and always ended their own story by you know, saying the best you could get. What's your own experience with that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, I keep in touch. The school in question is called Vancouver College. You know, my brother had gone there, and I knew a lot of people had gone there. And so it was like this powerhouse in sports, but also in education. I think now in Western Canada, it ranks either number two or three. But what's interesting mm-hmm. is that it's affordable. So for the son of an immigrant, Irish immigrant or immigrants of all, you know, that's a big deal. And, you know, friends of mine who didn't even go there, I find out now they send their sons there just because it just has that level of education. And instead of costing, I'm just going to throw it out there, a lot of the comparable schools in that part of Canada would cost $35,000 or $40,000. It's still only $7,000. I think it was like $2,000 when I went. So, I mean, you have that economic benefit of being able to afford it, and then the level of education. Yeah. I mean, since left that, done undergrad, done my master's, I never felt I was ever any less prepared than anybody else.
Okay. What, I suppose, other than Scotland or Britain, the Glasgow Celtic Football Club and the teams are most appreciated in Ireland. It's almost like there was a bridge across to Glasgow from Ireland. And you know, you are such a, well, should we say, an avid fan of, you know, of the Glasgow Celtic Football Club. Where did that come from?
So, you know, I'm actually a third generation fan. You know, I learned about it from my dad. And, you know, although, you know, we couldn't get games like we can these days online and so forth,
yeah.
You know, you hear about people taping them and we talk about them. And a lot of the guys that I hung out with, you know, had Irish parents. And so it was just kind of a cool thing to be involved with Celtic and followed it throughout the years. And, you know, that passion just gets, you know, more and more and more as time goes on. And there are supporters clubs throughout the world. I mean, it really is a global club in terms of its fan base that really could equal some of the more the powerhouses you might get in England and across Europe in terms of the fan base. And there are supporters clubs throughout North America. And I believe we have the largest one in New York City, Midtown CSC number one, I believe it's called, run by Robert Parker. And he's actually going to be with me next week on the Celtic Walk.
The Celtic Football Club, that was actually founded, when was it, 1887? And
correct.
Here, yeah. The Irish connection jumps in. Tell us about another Sligo man from Ballymote in Sligo who went to Scotland. You pick it up from there.
Sure, Brother Walford. And, you know, the Great Hunger, I mean, there are a lot of displaced persons who came over to Glasgow looking for work. And in the East End, which Brother Walford was focused on, it was St. Mary's Church, you know, he saw a lot of the, you know, the poverty and so forth, and he wanted to do something about it. So, you know, the Celtic Club was based on the fact of, you know, providing people with, you know, a charity to raise funds to help those in need. And also to provide an outlet for a lot of the young lads who are looking to get involved in sports.
Now, he grew up actually in Ballymote as, and his birth name was Andrew. He was a Currans, and I think most of us could understand, including, you know, those who grew up in the middle of the last century. The seasonal workers went, you know, they disappeared because of the lack of employment in Ireland. And yes, they went to Scotland. They went to work. Kearns actually, did he have a job? He was 15 when he headed for Scotland, and he had his eye on a job in the railway.
Oh, right, yeah.
So were the they're the Maris brothers, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
and they were they was that considered to be you know, a major order of Christian Brothers in Scotland, or was that more general? You know, were they in Ireland? Were they other places that we know of?
I believe it was more general, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah.
Now, Okay, time went on, and again, you know, perhaps you could start by telling us about the Celtic Football Club Foundation, and sure. When and how did that, well, you already kind of explained that one, but how recently, you know, did the foundation, which was little known, when did that actually kick in? We know they raised 1.3 million to help those during the coronavirus pandemic. But bring us back before then, and what the history is there.
You know, the foundation is sort of bedrock of the club, and you know, as fan, which is a little bit different from other clubs in Europe, in that you know that your base of the club and of the support is willingness to help others, and it's grown over time. You know, as the club has grown, so has that component. And Celtic were the first club from Britain to win the Champions League in 1967, and the famous Lisbon Lions, as we refer to them today, and back then as well. And it's just kind of gone from there. So over the years, it's developed even further and further. And I'd say, in terms of the impact the foundation's had in North America, while it's always been there, it's really increased with the first New York City Gala that we had in 2019, at the University Club, where we honored Martin O'Neill, and who, by the way, has a wicked sense of humor. I had no idea that was the case, and I literally was fortunate enough to have been given a ticket from a good friend of mine, an Celtic buddy, Will Gillies, and I attended it, and that was sort of, I always knew about the team, I knew a little bit about the foundation, but that just blew me away, and it was such a successful event. We've since gone on to do a virtual event, another live event. So 2018 was the first time. 2019, we had another event. Had a virtual one last year, and hoping to have another one this year in October.
Sean O'Dowd, the walk-a-thon or the walk-on, a very successful fundraising arm, you know, of the foundation, of which you're very deeply involved, both in New York and in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. There are many, walk-ons or walk-a-thons that indeed are spread all over, including the native Sligo of the founder. How does that work? And because looking at the schedule for, first of all, is New York next Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, it's next Saturday, June the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
At 10, we're going to be leaving New York Yankee Stadium at around 10 a.m., around gate 4. But you're right, Adrian. I mean, this is a walk-on weekend. So there are walks, and people can even do individual walks. So if you actually go to... If you go to charity.celticsc.com, you can find out more information in the news section. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we're going to have our New York walk. We had one back in 2019, which was very, very successful. I think we had about 32 people, or even more. And that walk, we started at Inwood, went all the way down to Duffy Square, and then headed on to the Great Hunger Memorial, which I know you're instrumental in getting done. So thank you for that. This year, we're going to be doing it from Yankee Stadium, a couple stops, hit Duffy Square again, Great Hunger Memorial, and then onwards to the Tiff in Manhattan.
Yeah.
But it is, again, it's happening all across the world. Belfast, Glasgow, obviously, Sligo, as well as Melbourne, from my understanding. So it's just a great way to get out with other Celtic supporters and catch up. Especially after COVID, a lot of us haven't seen each other in quite a while. So
I know
I'm really looking forward to it.
And that's a good way when you think of it. You're going to meet everybody between Yankee Stadium and the Irish Hunger Memorial in Battery Park City. You can give them all a wave. I can't. You have to be in the whole of your health, so there's no requirement if you start at Yankee Stadium for this charity fundraising walk-on. You don't have to go the whole way. You don't have to do
that. No. Yeah. I mean, there's no requirements, and everyone's going to look. If it's going to be a really hot day, some people just might not be able to make it the whole way. But
right.
Again, it's just for fun and laughs, and it'll be nice because I'll be within a group of people when I bring out my sunscreen that has SPF 70. I probably won't be the only one. Let's just say.
Yeah. Okay. Now I want to ask you though. First of all, where is the money distributed, and what's the criteria, for the application and to get support from the foundation?
Sure. Again, going to the website, you can figure out sort of the contact information. Again, that's charity.celticsu.com. But in terms of where the money goes, obviously East End of Glasgow, Greater Glasgow, but also throughout Ireland, parts of Britain in terms of London and so forth. And also we did, in terms of the fundraisers we've done here in the past, including the walk that we did in 2019, it went to the Coalition for the Homeless in New York City. So we make it as broad as the base of Celtic fans, if you will.
Yeah. So for those who would like, to join the walk and do some of it, how is that going to work? Because are people, are those who might want to walk, should they be hitting on their friends and family, for this? Is this more, well, I know it is to us, but is this more of an awareness, it's unique way to start, but then we're already talking about starting now. Obviously, the charity has done amazing work, but bottom line is here, this is a fundraising. You don't come up with the kind of money you're talking about. 1.3 million is nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, sure.
But yeah. There are people, is there a way for those of us who don't walk, or if we do, we walk very poorly.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is ways to donate on the foundation's website.
Yeah.
There is a suggested requirement if you want to be on the walk of a minimum of $50 or £50, excuse me. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a suggestion. There's also a way when you register, you have a Just Giving page, which, I put together for myself, and then I sent it to the friends and family, and, people give 25 here, 50 here, but, it does add up. But, again, we're more interested in having supporters and people interested in the walk, and I'm sure we'll find ways to raise the funds.
Well, it's a noble cause. And what attracted us and what got us interested in the first place, thanks to Torlough McConnell, is that we didn't know that there really was, an Irish connection at all, And boy, where that does. The 2021 Friends, the Celtic Football Club Foundation. Again, having raised 1.3 million to help those most in need during the virus and during the pandemic. It's next week, this coming week, and it's the annual walk on weekend. Again, in New York City, it's Saturday. And what about Philadelphia? Then is that on Saturday or Sunday?
I believe Philly's on Saturday as well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But you can get it on the website, and we will post that. We'll post it on our face page, and let's take it from there. What is the significance and the connection with Father Duffy Square in Midtown in Manhattan? Is there, I know it's a fantastic place with, again, a great Irish history, but Is there a particular, is that just one of the stops, you know?
Correct. It is one of the stops. There's a couple beforehand, and then again, the great Hunger Memorial, and the heavy. I think we end at the Dead Rabbit pub, by the way.
Oh,
but the heart.
Surprise! Surprise! Yeah. Now we're talking. Okay. Yeah. And if you're implying that somewhere between Yankee Stadium, you know, and Battery Park City, Irish Hunger Memorial, that there'd be no pubs along the way, you're going to wait till the end of the day. That we're not going to buy, you know. O'Dowd, I want to tell you right now, with their Sligo background, no, that's not going to happen.
I'll be bringing plenty of water, Adrian.
Oh.
and Gatorade. I'll mix it up.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the Gatorade. We want to wish you lots of luck on this. And from an awareness point, if we send, you know, or if we, you know, get to the website, find out a little bit more. And you can do that. CelticFC.com is the web.
CelticFC.com, yeah.
Yeah, charity. CelticFC.com. Good luck to you. On it, and if you see somebody speeding by, blowing the horn, giving you a shout out the window, that could be any of us. But good luck. Good luck. All right. Okay. God bless. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Great work there. Absolutely. You know, it's and who knew? Who knew there was going to be that kind of a connection?